Welcome to Women Writing Men.
I'm Delaney.
I'm here with Mariah.
Hi.
This week, we are doing a book called In 5 Years by Rebecca Searle. It's been a hot minute since Mariah has read it. We are searching for the most attractive man in fiction. Do we have a contender, Mariah?
I don't know. Do we?
I don't think so. Okay. It wasn't that he was bad, he just wasn't...
He was uninteresting.
He wasn't enough to be like...
Ooh la la.
Ooh, yeah. First thoughts, Mariah?
Well, for all you listening, I literally don't remember this book at all. Before we started recording, I was like, in 5 years, maybe it's about time travel. I don't think it is.
No.
But I was like, maybe it's about 5 years into the future. She travels 5 years into the future. Literally. And then I was reading my chapter one and chapter two notes, and it didn't even, like, make me go, oh, I remember now. Like,
yeah.
Like, no clue. There's a man named David, but I don't think he's the man.
No.
He's the other, like, the other man.
Yeah.
So there's two men.
Yeah.
I don't even like, yeah. Those are my first thoughts.
Thanks.
I must not have thought much of this book, because I don't remember it. I really don't.
It had an interesting twist.
Oh, did it?
My first thoughts, since I just read it, is that it had an interesting twist. I found it interesting in that it felt like the author really had, like, a story that she wanted to tell, and then she told it in the most efficient way possible. Like, there was no, like, meandering. I felt like all of my notes are, like, one sentence per chapter, because each chapter could be summarized in a sentence.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I did know the author's name, which is, like, incredible.
Yeah, that is incredible. It's probably because you had to text it to me, like, 6 times to try to get me to read it.
You know what else is crazy? I can't remember the names in these books. But last week, we did an event for our work, and my brother came because we needed extra staff. And afterwards, he's like, I don't understand, Mariah. Like, people would come up to you, and they'd say, like, oh, my name is Jim. And then you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, Jim blah, blah, blah from blah, blah, blah. Yes, we have a name tag for you. Come this way, sir. And then there were other people who didn't have a name tag. So I'm like, oh, yeah, you aren't on my list. We need to make you a name tag. And he's like, how do you know that, Mariah? And I'm like, I don't know. Because when it comes to reading books, I sure forget their names. But at this event, I knew everybody's first name, like, last name once they told me their first name and what company they worked for. Just from their first name.
Mariah, we've discussed how your memory works. Guys, just so you know, Mariah has, like, a semi-photographic memory. So if you put a... But that doesn't make sense with the reading of the books. That doesn't make sense.
I don't understand my semi-photographic memory because I seem to have it.
Yeah, like, you were able to reference whatever spreadsheet had first name, last name, and company.
Yeah.
But this isn't working.
But, like, I don't remember this book, and I mostly don't remember characters' names from books. Yeah. So it's a mystery.
Okay, well.
Short summary?
Do I need to do this short summary?
Obviously. I can tell you chapter one and two.
Okay, so short summary is that there's a girl, she's a lawyer, she gets engaged, and then on the night of her engagement, she has, like, a vision into the future, and it's 5 years in the future.
Oh,
yeah, this is ringing a bell for Mariah.
Okay.
And then she sees herself with another man, not her fiancé, she's not in the apartment they live in, and she's very confused. Like, she's just like, what is going on here? It's not in the part of the city she planned to live in. Like, none of it is according to what her plan is for the next 5 years. And so then the book follows her from that moment. She comes back to the present, to her fiancé, and, like, follows her until the 5 years, until you reach that day, and, like, how she got there.
Interesting. I vaguely remember that she does meet the man in her visions, and she's, like, doesn't like him.
Yeah.
To start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought it's an interesting twist, because as you guys can imagine, the book is just not, it's not just linearly like
that. Yep. You know how it's ending.
Yeah, you know how it's ending, but it's interesting how she gets there. because it's not necessarily the way you expect. So yeah, I'm going to start, and maybe the twist will hit you at some point.
Okay.
So yeah, the main character's name is Danny. She's a lawyer. She has this like big job interview to get this certain job. And then she knows that she's getting engaged tonight. A lot of the early chapters were kind of dull for me because they were very like setting things up. And it was kind of before the reveal of the 5-year vision. So then, I don't know, like the proposal happened and it was very stereotypical and kind of dull for me for that reason. Like she lives in New York. So it was like, he took her to this fancy restaurant and then he proposed and everyone clapped and it was so beautiful. And yeah. I was just like, it wasn't very exciting to me because that's not really my vibe, but it was very, if you're into New York, I think it could have been.
Well, they got engaged at the Rainbow Room.
Yes.
Which I think is like famous in the real world too.
Okay. I don't know enough about New York to know that.
I just have heard of that restaurant before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then that's chapter 1 and 2, and then on to chapter 3. Do you have more notes about?
Well, I made comments about how I felt.
Oh, okay.
I said her life seems too perfect.
Yeah.
Her and David don't ever disagree on anything ever. I pondered that David would cheat on her with her best friend.
Oh, that's an interesting prediction.
I don't know if it happens because I don't remember. He does propose. She says it's perfect. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
I just was like, nothing's ever this perfect.
Yeah. So then chapter 3, she wakes up 5 years later. Okay. She sees it on the news and it's like December of 2020 something. And she's with this guy who she like looks at his wallet and discovers his name's Aaron.
Uh-huh.
And they have this fucking spectacular sex. Like, it's really great. And she's like, it's weird that we're having sex. Like, it's weird that this is
what's happening.
Because she's like, I just got engaged to another man, but then it just feels right at the time, so she just does it. But she, like, in this moment, she, like, asks a couple questions. Like, she's like, am I still a lawyer? Like, what's going on kind of thing. And he's like, of course you're still a lawyer, and things like that. Kind of, in a way, like, he's like, you know that. And she's like, yeah, I know that. And yeah, do you have more about that?
Her new beau is not Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah, she's Jewish.
And I guess she wanted to marry a Jewish man.
I think that was part of the plan.
I said that he has blonde hair and a jaw like one of the superhero Chris's, which...
Oh, I remember that was written like that.
Which I think that like some of the superhero Chris's are really good looking, so I was like, that's fun. The engagement ring she has with this other man is not one she would have ever picked out before, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, those things of like, why? What would make you change so much, like in terms of your taste?
Because the apartment is also decorated
way differently
than, because her place is all like black and white and very, and she's a lawyer, very like analytical and stuff. Yeah. So this apartment has like this weird art on the wall. It has like blue more, like, and ethereal. Green. And, yeah.
And so is her ring, and I'm like, why are you going to change so much?
Mm-hmm.
They have mega chemistry because she wants to leave, but he pulls her back by asking her, and she just wants to do it.
Yeah.
They have mega chemistry.
Yeah, so then chapter 4, she returns. Like, she goes to sleep after the sex, I think, and then wakes up back where she was. And she feels very, like, lost now. Like, with her husband, she feels like that this weird sense of, like, this doesn't feel perfectly right.
Anymore, yeah.
And she's trying to be like, it's okay, we're gonna have sex, we just got engaged, let's do it. But she can't, because she's just kind of eh about it. So chapter 5, she, like, goes to a therapist. But she doesn't tell the therapist at this time about the vision, I don't think. She just goes to the therapist and then talks about some other stuff.
Hmm. I mean, I don't remember. What I wrote was she goes to therapy once to give the dream to the therapist to acknowledge that it was crazy and move on.
Oh, that's what her goal was. Okay. But I don't think she told the therapist. Okay. And then four and a half years passes.
Yeah.
And then...
4.5 years?
I know.
Well, I thought I read it like 4.5 years go past. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So 4.5 years passes and she... has put off marrying David. Like, she has...
They're still together.
They're still together, but they're not married. They've just been engaged for 4.5 years.
Okay. She got the job she wanted. She moved to the place that she wanted.
Yep.
Everything is perfect except for she couldn't marry him.
Except, yeah, she can't shake this dream fully, and I think she's waiting for the 5 years so that she can shake it and then be like, I can make my own choice, you know? Mm-hmm. So she has brunch with her best friend, Bella, and Bella tells her that she's met this really nice guy, Greg. And
I said, is this how she runs into Aaron?
Interesting prediction. Yeah, I don't have more about chapter 6.
In passing, she says she sees David 5 minutes every day because they are both too busy with work. Not good for their relationship, I think. Ah, so childhood trauma made her this way.
Yeah, she lost her brother.
And then she went into control overdrive to make sure nothing bad happened to her ever again. Mm-hmm. She believes you must make sacrifices to achieve your dreams. Bella believes the opposite, that sacrifice is in direct opposite to manifestation. Wow.
Yeah, so Bella, the best friend,
Is dating Greg.
And they've been best friends forever, like Danny and Bella have been. And Bella's very artistic. She like she's like been seeing like 4 different guys for like her whole life, like just for months at a time throughout her life. And she kind of goes and lives in different countries and parties, and she has like distant parents and things like that. So chapter 7, she goes for dinner with Greg to meet Greg. And then she's like, oh shit.
Greg is Aaron
from the vision. Like, mm-hmm. Greg is the guy from the vision. So she runs out of dinner and goes home to mope. So she, like, leaves dinner early, like, claiming that she feels sick.
I said she panics, as one would.
Yeah. Yeah. It is justified.
And she thinks, wow, Aaron seems nice. Which is new for Bella's boyfriends.
Yeah, and Bella actually seems to care about him.
Yeah. And which I thought, this is, like, shaping up to be interesting, I said.
Yeah.
Still don't remember any of this, but...
So then, because Danny has it on the mind, this, like, vision, she goes looking for the apartment. Because she, from the view from the window, she, like, can determine where it would be in New York. And she, like, goes for this big, long run and, like, goes to that neighborhood and, like, is looking around. And she runs into Aaron.
Yeah.
Who is looking for an apartment to, he's, like, looking at an apartment that Bella is thinking about buying. And he's like, do you want to come see it? And she's like, oh, no. I know what it's going to be. So she goes up and, it's the apartment. But it's for Aaron and Bella.
Yeah.
It's not for her. Chapter 10.
Whoa. Okay. She also goes back to the therapist at that point.
Oh, yeah. And I think she tells the therapist about the vision at that point because she's met Aaron.
But the therapist wants her to talk about why she won't get married, and she won't talk about that. And I also had a question, which is it true that the best joints are ones that the police officers go to? I guess this is something that Aaron said, and I was like, what?
That is a thing that they said. I don't know if it's true in New York.
Her and Aaron go to the apartment. She tries to convince Bella to not buy it because she's like, I must stop the prophecy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm in chapter 10.
Okay. So she goes back to David, her fiance, and she's like, I want to get married. And she's like, I want to get married in December. Let's do that. Yeah. Let's plan it.
But and her premonition was December 15th. So she's trying to get married to David before December 15th.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't understand, because you're a planner, you want everything to be perfect. And she's like, no, it's fine.
You gotta do it immediately.
December.
Yeah. Chapter 11. Mm-hmm. So she's working on this big case, and then that's kind of conflicting with the wedding planning. So then she's, like, really struggling to wedding plan.
Yeah, it's a basically, I was like, this whole chapter is just how busy she is at work, and how she isn't wedding planning or really living life, but she does seem happy at her job.
Yeah, no, she loves her job, but... the wedding planning is very difficult.
I also said in this chapter that one of my favorite parts about this book, here's one of my first thoughts, is that they had, like, she gave a lot of nods to New York, which I really liked because I love New York. So they talk about Dumbo, which I went to with Helena. They talk about Brooklyn Bridge Park, which I went to. And they also mentioned Levain Bakery, which we also went to. So it was actually really...
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I've never been to New York, so I was just like, I trust you.
Yeah.
that you did your research.
Yeah, it really was very accurate and, like, very, like, well-known places, because mm-hmm. we were going to places that were, like, the places to go. Mm-hmm.
So chapter 12, she goes to get food with Bella, and she feels sad that she can't tell Bella about the vision that she had, because A, it's weird, and now Bella's dating Aaron, so she can't be like, I had a vision that I'm with him.
And she actually comes up with a pretty good lie about why she, because Bella's like, why are you so weird?
Yeah, why are you so being so weird about Aaron?
And she says it's because she's jealous that her relationship with Bella will change, which I think is like a pretty common thing that friends...
That, and it's reasonable because they were best friends forever.
And Bella's never had a serious relationship, yeah. So she's like, you know...
I'm just insecure panicking. Insecure
about, like, it's a good lie. It's not...
Yeah.
It's obviously not what's happening, but I thought, good job.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Bella at this moment asks Danny if she thinks that David is, like, meant to be her husband.
Because, like, Bella's like, you would have married him already. Like, that's four and a half years is a long time.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting because I was like, obviously, your friend is seeing something.
Yeah, that
you're not ready to accept.
Yeah. So, chapter 13, David is like, I'm going to do the wedding planning. Like, and so he's, like, pushing the wedding planning. He's, like, meets with her at lunch for, like, 15 minutes so they can talk about flowers.
I don't remember anything, but all I wrote about this chapter was a tiny chapter about wedding planning.
Yep. Chapter 14, they go on a vacation with, like, and they go on this vacation.
Just the three of them? Or all four of them?
Six of them.
Okay.
There's Danny, David, Bella, Aaron, and then they have a lesbian couple friend, Morgan and Ariel. And she's clearly, like, a little too into Aaron, and it's kind of, like, she's curious about him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they have, like, good chemistry
mm-hmm.
on this trip, and that's kind of all I have about it.
She calls him Aaron, which no one else does, because yeah. His name is Greg. Why? Is his last name Aaron?
His last name's Greg.
Oh.
His last name's
Aaron Greg.
Aaron Gregory, I think.
Okay.
And so people call him Greg, but she calls him Aaron.
Which I think is pretty odd.
Mm-hmm.
She is slightly jealous of Bella and Aaron, but also happy because she's never seen Bella so happy. Where is this going to go, I wonder?
Yeah, this is the point where you're like, this is very strange.
Because, like, we know, I'm like, is her friendship with Bella over in 5 months?
Or yeah,
whatever we're at now?
Yeah, or, like, what is happening?
Do we transition to, no, you marry my guy.
Yeah, like,
it's fine.
Yeah, and then chapter 15. Even more, you're like, where the heck is this going?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Bella is pregnant.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm so happy. And they, like, go to the store and they get the pregnancy mm-hmm. test together. Like, Bella has kind of, like, she's like, I feel weird. I feel like I'm pregnant. And then she's like, well, have you missed your period? And she's like, yeah. And then she goes and takes a test.
I feel like I remember that.
Yeah.
Did they take it out? Like, did she do the test not at the beach house?
I think they went to buy the test and then... Or maybe they did. Maybe they, like, hid in a bathroom somewhere together while she, like, peed on the thing.
I feel like that's what happened.
Yeah.
There was also something else that I was remembering about that. Well, now I really don't know. But now I'm like, maybe Bella's been cheating on Aaron or someone else?
It's so funny that you don't know yet. Don't read farther in your notes. Like, try to stay exactly where we are because you're almost there.
Or was it a fake? Or was it, like, not a real pregnancy?
At this point, I was like, I guess Bella's gonna die? Like, I was like, what?
Okay, I really don't know.
So, chapter 6. Okay,
I have another thing, though, because I wonder about this. Because I said, oh, this is interesting. They talk about Danny's old beach house, and her and Bella remember it very differently. Bella says they went there after brother died, and Danny says they never did. Mm-hmm. Why? Why did I write that?
Because later, there's like a pic... Like, Danny doesn't remember it, but then later... Bella has a picture of them together at this beach house with, like, blue awning or something. And it was like, oh, Bella was right. And
but,
she remembered
But why
that.
Does that matter?
I don't know.
Why does... What does that show? Like, Danny's forgetting her past?
I think at that time in Danny's life, she was not super present, maybe.
Okay.
So, chapter 16, Danny goes for a walk with Aaron. And they have, like, a moment together. But it also kind of feels like she's, like, getting to know Aaron and is like, yeah, he's going to be with Bella. And then chapter 17, she's fully convinced the future with Aaron is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because she's like, they're so happy. I've never seen Bella this happy. Like, she's just, things are going really well for them.
Yeah. They go shopping for baby clothes. I did think that was pretty premature, though, because she hasn't even gone to the doctor yet.
Yeah.
And they've, like, painted the nursery. I'm like, no, guys.
Guys.
So then I was like, oh, maybe she miscarriages. And then I was like, this book can't be that Danny and Aaron have an affair.
Yeah.
Like, that can't be where we're headed.
Yeah. So, chapter 18, there is no baby.
Okay.
Bella has ovarian cancer. Okay.
And she's gonna die.
Yeah. So.
I did say, it still feels crazy that we go from this point, mid-September, to Danny engaged to Aaron in 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. I, like, laughed at this point, and it's, like, not cool that I laughed, but just the way that they delivered the, like, I have ovarian cancer line was very, like, heart stop, and I was like, what? It was just crazy. So then the book takes a turn. Book takes a cancer turn.
Okay.
Because, yeah, they go to see a cancer doctor, because Danny is now like, oh shit, like, this is crazy. So they go to see a cancer doctor, and the cancer doctor's like, yeah, no, this is going to be a problem. Like, we're going to have to start treatment immediately to deal with this.
I'm like, obviously she dies. Yeah. Like, she has to die.
Yeah, but it's very weird.
Yeah.
Because you're like, how? It doesn't make sense, really. I don't know.
Like, the timeline? Or the...
Just, like how move from one to how the other? Emotionally do they get there, you know?
Yeah. Bella also can have kids now, and she won't talk to Danny.
Yeah. Yeah. So Danny's being a little too controlling of the whole thing. Like, she's kind of overprotective, and Bella gets mad at her, and so they have a little fight. And Bella's like, you can't come to chemo. But Danny still goes to chemo. She just doesn't let Bella see her at chemo.
She, like, hides?
Yeah. She goes for a walk with Aaron, because she's still talking to Aaron about, like, what's going on with Bella, because she can't handle not knowing.
Yeah.
And he's like, I love Bella. Like, I'm in this. And he's known her for, like, 2 months.
Yeah, like, and he's like, I'm not leaving her. Like, I'm sticking with her. And I'm like, how? Like, even if she dies, how?
I know. So chapter 22, I wrote she has a nice moment with Aaron while they're waiting for Bella, who's having surgery. And there's also, like, drama happening with Bella's parents.
Yeah, because her parents haven't really been good parents in the past, and now they're there comforting her, and she's like, you didn't do it in the past.
Yeah. But yeah, she, like, kind of bonds with Aaron. Just both of them are, like, dealing with this thing together. And I wrote, she's clearly going to die. I don't know why I wrote that, but I was very confident.
I said that I love Aaron.
Oh, he is good. He's very good with the, like...
Well, I said, I want Bella to get better and for them to be together.
Yeah.
What did it for me is that he cried when they found out she survived the surgery and they get all the cancer cells out. It made me cry, and, well, I already said that. And also that he wanted Danny to go to her bed, like, after.
Yeah.
But Danny knew that Aaron is what Bella would want because of love.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was all really nice. I liked that part. Yeah. Apparently. Don't remember it either.
Chapter 24.
I said chapter 24, Bella recovering chapter. Nothing interesting to note, but Aaron has been dutiful and wonderful to Bella.
Yeah, I wrote, Bella is doing well. Danny gets called into boss's office. Oh, because Danny thinks she's going to get fired because she's been so focused on the Bella thing that she's not really paying attention.
But she gets a promotion.
Yeah.
I read it every single time. Like, I've been reading that line a few times, and I kept reading it as another premonition. But no, it's a promotion.
Yeah. And then, so she tries to have, like, sexy sex with David, but it doesn't work. Like, something just feels off.
And then David's like, when are we gonna get married? And she's like, yeah.
And she's like, I've been dealing with a lot lately, in the last 6 months.
So she says a bunch of numbing jumbo. I think I meant mumbo jumbo. She says a bunch of mumbo jumbo about how they are, like, constellations passing each other. And that acknowledging the space between two people is love. But then she gets panicky and closes her eyes. And when she opens them, David is gone? Like, has he left her? Or did he just leave the room?
I don't know.
Okay.
But she is struggling in the relationship a bit. Because she's just been so focused on Bella that she's just not paying attention. Chapter 26, Bella gets her a gift. And she's like, I tried so hard to get you this. And it's like this weird art. And then... Danny opens it and she's like, shit, this is the art from the apartment in the vision. So then she's like stressed. She's like, oh no, it's happening.
And she also finds out that Bella did buy the apartment, too.
Yeah.
Because originally she didn't think that happened, but Bella actually did buy it.
Yeah. And Danny's like, no, just sell it again. Like, just don't ever live there. It's bad.
And now we're in October 15th, so now we're what? 2 months away.
Yeah. Chapter 27. Bella's having a bad time with the cancer. And she tells Danny to stop coming to the appointments. I guess this is the point when she tells Danny to stop coming to the appointments. And then Danny goes and, like, lurks in the lobby and talks to Aaron about what's going on, but doesn't let Bella see her at the appointments. Sorry, they're having the fight now. I said it was happening earlier.
That's okay.
And then chapter 28, all I wrote was a line. So I don't
know. Is it Aaron's line?
Is it "You mistake love"?
Yep.
Aw, this is so cute. So the context for this line is that Danny's mad that Bella's mom is, like, stepping in.
And Bella's been, like, okay with it, right?
Yeah, and so, like, because the mom has been so distant and just not a great mom.
Yeah.
And Danny's like, that's...
And Danny's like, you didn't love her in the past, so why do you love her? Why do you get to love her now?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. So you want to read the line?
"You mistake love. You think it has to have a future in order to matter, but it doesn't. It's the only thing that does not need to become at all. It matters only insofar as it exists. Here, now, love doesn't require a future."
Yeah. It was a really good line. It was really nice to me.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
But I did say that I think it's going to be used to justify them getting together, which I struggle still with. Because I'm like, we're 2 months away.
Yeah.
Like, how are you getting engaged in 2 months? Because, like, it's the same thing. Like, you think it has to have a future in order to, like, all of those things you can use to say, oh, well, I did love her 2 months ago, and now I love you now.
I thought it was more, like, about her thing with David, because she was like, I love him because there's a future.
Mm.
And it wasn't necessarily that she loved him now. She was just like, yes, the future will be perfect as soon as I get there. Chapter 29, she meets with some people for law things.
I said, probably important, but it was uninteresting, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's basically implying that her career's kind of heading in a slightly different direction, because it never really pays off, this meeting. Like, it's not like she gets a big different job or anything. She just gets promoted on this case. Like, she does well on this case, and then it's kind of implied that she might end up moving to California at some point later to do more of this case.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Chapter 30, she has, like, drinks with her boss, and she just feels bad for, like, liking her job and not being at Bella's side at all times. Uh-huh. You know? Like, she's, like, upset that she had a good time.
In California.
Yeah.
And then her boss says, you can love your job. That doesn't make you a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 31.
It's mid-November.
She unenthusiastically tries on wedding dresses.
And she picks the first one she tries on because she's panicking about that we're a month away from her being engaged to another man.
Yeah, it's actually, like, such a sad, like, scene where she, like, because the, like, assistant who's helping her is just, like, checked out and doesn't really care because she doesn't think that she's gonna buy one because, like, she doesn't have any, like, of the excitement or anything. And then she also is, like, this idiot shop assistant doesn't realize I'm gonna buy this one the first one I tried and she's immediately gonna get commission and it's gonna be great for her. and then once she's like, I'll take it, suddenly the shopkeeper, like, lights up and is all like, yeah, this is so great. You're going to look so pretty. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
And then she gets bad news about Bella.
Bella's chemo has not been successful.
Yeah.
And Bella wants Danny to start coming back to things.
Yeah.
But also chapter 32.
Bella informs Danny that Danny is not in love with David.
Yeah.
And she was like, if you're feeling pressure, she's like, if there's a clock ticking, it should be towards your happiness. And I was like, damn, dude, that's a crazy, I don't know, it, like, made me think about when you put, like, a deadline on something. Yeah, you should put deadlines on things that are, like, going to make your life better rather than deadlines on bad things.
Mm-hmm. But Danny wasn't actually putting deadlines on bad things. She was just putting deadlines on the wrong things.
Yeah, that's true. And so Bella's like, you're capable of loving someone the way you love me. Like, because Danny is so much more in, like, love with Bella than she is with David.
But Bella, in this chapter, we also discover that Bella and Aaron are now engaged.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
So again, I'm like, oh my gosh, how are we going from here to there?
Yeah.
I'm on chapter 33 now.
Yep. She tells David that it feels like her and David aren't on two different tracks that are just parallel.
I really liked that analogy.
Yeah.
I wrote it as they are both looking in the same direction but have ended miles apart.
Yeah.
Which I said, because like, yeah, I don't know. I really like, because they're looking, but if you're not going at the same speed.
Or, yeah, if you're not, you don't realize how far apart you are.
Yeah.
Because you were both looking at the same thing.
Yeah. Like, we could both head towards Vancouver, but if you were in White Rock and I was in Coquitlam, we would never see each other, but we'd both be heading to Vancouver.
That'll be such a good reference that all of our readers, that listeners that are not in Vancouver will understand.
Fine, I'll do a different one. We're both headed to Mexico. I'm in Washington. You're in New York.
Yeah.
But we're both looking at Mexico. Most yeah. people know those two. Those three places of the world.
Yeah. True.
Anyways, I really liked it.
Yeah, it was a good breakup thing.
Yeah, but they haven't broken up though.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, guys. Chapter 34, she gets dinner with David, considers calling off the wedding.
And she's like, I want to get married when, like, she says to him, I want to get married when Bella's healthy. And I'm like, well, what if Bella doesn't get healthy? Mm-hmm. Like, there's, and even David's like, I don't know, you're not making a lot of sense.
Yeah, and she's just trying really hard not to think about the possibility of Bella dying. Like, she's just like, no, Bella, I'll get married when Bella's good, and yeah. Chapter 35.
In chapter 35, I concluded that this book has a good message.
She breaks up with David.
Well, I said that David breaks up with her.
Oh, it's like, it's a very...
Amicable?
I mean, he's just like, you would have married me if you wanted to marry me.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyways, I quoted the whole, like, conversation she has with Bella. That was what I was interested in.
Yeah. She goes and has a cry with Bella, and it's really nice.
Well, she says that she realizes for the first time that she thought all along that she was the strong one and Bella was the weak one.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said that she had it backwards.
Aww.
Because she said, I thought I was Bella's protector, that she was flighty and irresponsible and frivolous, that it was my job to protect her, that I was the strong one, counterbalancing her weakness, her whimsy, but I was wrong. I wasn't the strong one, she was, because this is what it feels like, to take a risk, to step out of line, to make decisions not based on fact but feeling, and it hurts. It feels like a tornado raging. It feels like I may not survive it. And then Bella says, you will. You already have. And I just thought that was like, that's a good message.
Yeah.
Like, take risks, get your heart broken.
Yeah, and for the potential of, like, real love.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote that she realizes love is in the moment, and it doesn't have to have a future in this moment. Where she was like, I could be in love with David then, and it doesn't mean I have to stay in love with him. You know? Like, we had a love, and it's over now, you know? Chapter 36. Bella made her the apartment. She got it all ready. I'm going to cry. this was... So Danny goes to the apartment, and Bella, like, decorated it all for Danny. You know, like, she, like, made it so it was nice for her.
And it was the way that it was in the premonition.
Yeah. And so it's spooky.
But Bella wasn't there to see it. Aaron brought her to show
her. And then they kiss.
And then I was like, no.
And then Danny is, like, really alarmed because she's like, oh, my God, the thing's happening.
Yeah.
And then she's... I wrote, all that's left now is for Bella to die.
I wrote, so Bella's gonna die.
Yeah. Like, it just... And I feel like that's part of, like, Danny realizing it, maybe, even though she's still in denial about it.
Yeah.
But she was just like, uh-oh. Oh, no. Chapter 37. Danny loves the apartment and I am crying.
Chapter 37. Okay, no.
That's all I wrote.
She picks out the dress for Danny to wear. And it's the dress from the premonition. Was her premonition the day of the funeral? Because I guess Bella picks the dress for Dani to wear at her funeral.
Oh, wow.
And then it's the same dress from The Premonition. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, did they get engaged on the day of her funeral? Chapter 38.
Dani goes and convinces Bella's mom to be a better mom right at the end.
Yeah, this is, it says also mom isn't coming to visit. She's got some unhealthy hangups. Is that Bella's mom?
Yeah, Bella's mom is like, I'm not going to come. I don't know. She's just being flaky at the end. And Dani's like, you need to fucking get your shit together.
Yeah, because all Bella needs is her mom right now.
Yeah.
I also said, this must be the true love story between Dani and Bella. Mm-hmm. Because it said something, again, I can't remember anything. I really can't believe it. Something about how Bella's parents chose the school that Dani was attending because it was love at first sight.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh, they, the girls met, like, Dani and Bella met, just, like, when they were on vacation or something. And then they were like, we're going to enroll Bella in the school that Dani's going to.
Okay.
Because Bella is, like, so
yeah, so that's what her. I said. Is this a true love story? It must be. I also said that this is the first time that I started to think about what it would be like for one of my best friends to die the way she is dying. And I was like, that's depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, chapter 39/40, I wrote, Bella dies, I cried a lot. That's all I wrote.
I am thinking, crying, I'm reading it. I said, this book is getting to me now. Bella's upset that she'll die before Dani has felt true love. Dani assures her she has felt it. She's felt it with Bella.
I know. Mariah's tearing up. I'm like seeing it, and I'm thinking about it too. It was so, ugh. Chapter 41, are you ready for that? Or are you like, still tearing? I feel like tearing?
I'm reading the book for the first time.
Mariah's got like tears rolling down her cheeks and it's like
re-experiencing it. I had another thing. She reflects on how wonderful Bella's life was, how full of life she was, how big she was, as if she knew her time was short. It's really beautiful.
Yes. Yeah, and now Mariah just read her own note and is crying.
Okay.
I keep saying Mariah's crying as if I'm not also crying. But yeah, it's really sad, but really nice. Like, they were just best friends. So chapter 41 is really interesting because
we're at the time.
We're at the day. We caught up. And they do the thing over again.
And this time it all makes sense.
And it's very interesting because they even have Dani say the same things.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, am I still a lawyer? But in this context, she's like, it's so crazy that I'm still a lawyer with this having just happened, you know? And just all of it. So she's in the apartment with Aaron. And the ring she's wearing is Bella's engagement ring that Aaron had given to Bella, obviously.
I think she never noticed that.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just because she didn't know they got engaged, but she did.
But she did know.
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, she has this moment with Aaron in the apartment, and then the crazy sex that they had, it wasn't crazy in terms of, like,
love.
Well, it was love. She thought it was love.
Love for Aaron.
But she mistook what the intense feeling was grief.
Yeah.
That she was, like, feeling and sharing with another human being. And so she thought that was, like, this intense love for him. But it wasn't necessarily. It was for Bella.
Yeah.
And I wrote, I'm crying again. But it was very...
It's funny. I never wrote that... Like, I never actually wrote, I'm crying. I wrote, this is getting to me. But I didn't write that I'm crying. I can't imagine that I didn't. Based on the fact that I'm crying.
You're reading the notes.
Notes I took about a book I read 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And then there's an afterwards, right?
Yeah, there's an epilogue.
And I said, her and Aaron are nothing. The chemistry combusted as grief.
Yeah.
And then I said, surprise of all surprises, Dr. Shaw will be her man.
Yeah, that's the cancer doctor. They, like, imply that maybe she'll get together with the cancer doctor. Which is just a really random extra twist.
That's the biggest twist.
Yeah.
And I said, but that's not a story we get to read.
Nope.
Unless there's a sequel, but it seems unlikely.
Yeah. So, okay. It seems incorrect to throw Bella into our
list of most attractive men in fiction.
Yeah. But I guess we have to put Aaron.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, even though she doesn't really end up with him.
No, because it's not about being the most attractive man that the main character dates.
True. It's just being
an attractive man in fiction.
And he could be just, we could just rank him as, you know, as for Bella. Like, yeah. And yeah. He seemed like a really good guy.
He did seem like a really good guy.
Yeah.
And also, I'm pointing out, remember at the beginning when Lainey said, this was one of the most efficient books that we've read. It's also one of our most efficient podcasts we've ever done.
It's because I took fucking efficient notes.
Because she was efficient.
Yeah, like, it was just really, and that's where too, like, I felt like this author had a statement she was trying to make about sort of, like, that thing with, like, love doesn't have to have a future to matter. Like, it can matter in the moment. And then I think she was also trying to make a statement about whatever your destiny is, it might not have to look like that, you know? Like, even if it seems like your destiny is written in stone, this is what my life is going to look like in 5 years, it doesn't have to do. Like, it might not.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting. And I think she, like, the author got that message across really well. But yeah, so pod rank time. I feel like he's in this, like, Will Grayson, Andrew Grayson zone.
Yeah. I mean, he's technically better than Wade.
Yeah.
So that makes it easy. Wade's in our number 7 spot, so higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Andrew Grayson?
From the Witch book. I think Aaron was better than him.
I think he was better than him. Because he was just so neutral.
Yeah. I think he was better than Will Grayson.
I would say that I could make him better than Will Grayson. I find it hard to put him above Callum.
No, I wouldn't put him above Callum.
So he's landing in at spot number 5. Aaron.
Aaron Gregory.
Aaron Gregory. The 5th most attractive man in fiction.
I like that we're like, yep, this is the most attractive man. Alrighty. Yeah, that was a very efficient one.
So efficient.
Why aren't we this efficient all the time? It's because authors don't write books like this that are so well structured. So the chapters are like, she goes to see the cancer doctor. The cancer doctor says things are going bad.
Yeah.
Other books
are like,
weird shit happens. You don't know what is relevant and what isn't.
Or there's, like, the books that are, like, 10 chapters for one conversation.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what?
And you're, like, trying to pick out, like, what was relevant or meaningful about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any closing thoughts that you need to express?
Well, it seems like it was a really enjoyable book. Maybe I should read it again. No, I don't really think. I feel like I've...
You got it?
I got it. But I wish I had remembered it.
I kind of enjoy that you didn't, because then the cancer reveal was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was cool.
All right. Well, I think that, do you have anything final to say?
Nope. Thanks for listening. Check us out on Instagram or on Patreon or on our website. All of them are Women Writing Men. Thank you so much for listening. I already said that, but I really like it. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.